translation purported by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place, in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food. And under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. And because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak, and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food, and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this, we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone, and therefore there are divisions of varna and ashrama. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one takes sannyas. Ashwamedam gavalambam sannyasam phalapaitrikam nivarena sutto patim kalo pancha vivarjayet. From Brahma Vaivarta Purana. From this verse, we can understand that in this age, the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually, it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however. If one thinks that he's unfit for sannyas, if he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean that he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do. And at the same time, one can be a Grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There's no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended Stani Stita Shruti Katam Tanuvan Manovi. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram. But one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the grihastha ashram and fight maya with great strength. But one should not give up the fight and go away. Om Jnanatimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakai Chakshurumritame Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there are different points Prabhupada makes in the purport in relation to the dilemma of Gajendra and the teaching that he's giving in his Leela Gajendra Moksha. First point makes that three things are required to make spiritual advancement: physical power, sensual power, and enthusiasm. Of the three, which is the most important? Physical power, sensual power, or enthusiasm? So obviously, of the three required qualities, enthusiasm is the most important. We see in the life of acharyas that they may appear externally not to be so physically powerful. Their physical prowess may be less. They may be very thin, appearing quite weak. And their sensual power may be also down. They may have bad eyes, the ears are not good, they may have hearing aid and wear glasses. So their physical power may be very less, and their sensual power may be very less because of old age. We meet many old Vaishnavas. Their body is finished. Their senses are weak due to the influence and debilitating effect of old age. But one quality is very strong: utsaha, enthusiasm. Enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Enthusiasm to surrender. Enthusiasm to advance. Enthusiasm to attain perfection in life. This is burning within their hearts like a powerful flame, the fire of enthusiasm. So this is the most important quality that's required. Sometimes, with the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement through the years, we see that devotees in different ashramas, whether it be brahmachari, grihastha, sannyas, they understand these principles of physical prowess, sensual prowess, and utsaha. And they become very concerned with the first two, physical prowess and sensual prowess. They go to the gym, they lift weights, they run track, they take vitamins and so many supplements and protein powders and lecithin flakes and this thing and that thing to build their bodies, to stave off the inevitable, to push back the progress of time, because time wears away everyone's body. Time takes away everyone's youth. Time destroys everyone's strength. So in order to push back time, people try to take to physical means to build their strength, to preserve their health. Very health conscious. You see often around the world in ISKCON, they're very, very health conscious. This physical health and sensual health. Ideas for hospitals, ideas for doctors, so many things. It's okay, required, as Prabhupada mentioned. But the real point of strength is enthusiasm. We see in the lives of someone like Jagannath Das Babaji, of course we're thinking of him because tomorrow I believe is his Tirubhav Tithi. So he was old. His body had no physical strength. He couldn't walk. What to speak of run track or put on his sweatpants and run around the neighborhood or walk down to Delhi Agra Road at a brisk pace every morning for his health. He couldn't walk at all. He was carried in a basket. And he couldn't see either. He was blind externally. He couldn't see, but he was having antardrishti. He was seeing Krishna in the heart and Radharani in the heart and Vrindavan in the heart. It explained that he was so old, his body, there was no senses. It practically couldn't hear, he couldn't see. But how much fire of enthusiasm was burning in his heart. That when Bihari, his servant, carried him in a basket to the Janma Stali of Mahaprabhu, and Bhaktivinoda said, "Oh, Babaji Maharaj, we believe that this is the place of the home of Lord Chaitanya, the Janma Stana. You agree?" And immediately he could perceive by his transcendental enthusiasm, by the vision of his pure heart, he could understand, yes, Bhaktivinoda, you have discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And he jumped out of his basket and was dancing. This is described. So he had the power of enthusiasm for Krishna, Krishna's service, but no physical power. So of these three qualities, we can understand that what's really required, you may have a very strong body and very powerful senses, good eyes, good ears. But if you don't have a burning desire to and a hankering to serve Krishna, an enthusiasm to surrender and advance in Krishna consciousness, your eyes, your perfect eyes with your perfect 20/20 vision, you will not want to see the deities. You will not want to see the devotees. And you'll now want to use your powerful body in the service of Krishna. So enthusiasm is what we have to cultivate. Because enthusiasm does not diminish with old age. Enthusiasm is not affected by the march of time. But the senses and body are affected by time and old age. No matter how much we try to make them strong, they will be destroyed. They will be diminished. But we find the very oldest Vaishnavas who have no physical power and physical strength, they have the greatest enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm is actually Krishna Shakti. That Krishna Shakti is a chintya. It is inconceivable what it can do. That Krishna Shakti is so powerful that it can make a blind man see. That Krishna Shakti, that enthusiasm to serve Krishna is so powerful that it can make a blind man see. It can make a lame man cross over mountains. And it can make a dumb man recite eloquent poetry. Mukham kuroti vachalam bhangam langayate girim yitkripad vaham bande shikurum dhamiyatarnam paramananda maharam. We see in the life of our Srila Prabhupada an 80-year-old man. Kidneys no good. Kidneys were no good. His body was finished. His eyes were very weak. Ears were weak. But all the 24-year-old men and women, they couldn't keep up with him. When he walked on the beach, they couldn't. He would walk so fast in Venice Beach, the morning walk. We had the fortune to go twice with a group of devotees in 1976. I think it was in June, July or something. Everyone's running, Brahman. And there's all physical strength, all sensual strength, but enthusiasm in that very less. But Brahman had no physical strength, sensual strength, but enthusiasm 100%, 1000%. So that enthusiasm, that utsaha, that is Krishna. That is Krishna's Shakti. And with that Shakti, you can spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, no matter whether you're young or old. So that was what was moving Srila Prabhupada. He was being moved by Krishna's Shakti. Utsaha. He was not being moved by physical strength, sensual strength. We can understand how much we are conditioned by our body, and how much we're dependent on physical strength and sensual strength. And we can understand how little we have of genuine, true spiritual enthusiasm when we perform tapasya. When a devotee fills his belly full of prasadam, then he has physical power. Food is digested, prasadam is digested, he gets strength. And also spiritual power from prasadam. And he works very hard.
or you take the same devotee and you don't give him any prasadam, then no power. So when one performs tapasya or austerity, say Ekadasi Vrata for one day, or maybe Chaturmasya Vrata or Kartik Vrata, and he eats very less, or maybe he fasts all day, Nirjala Ekadasi, then he sees how dependent, where does he have spiritual enthusiasm? Because spiritual activities, the activities of devotional service, are based on the soul, not on the body. Well, because we're stuck in the body, we need this physical and sensual strength to do service. But when you don't eat anything or you don't drink anything, then you see, oh, where is my drive coming from? Where is my inspiration? Where is my energy coming from now to serve Krishna? Do I have a real desire in my mind? Do I have real enthusiasm in my heart to serve Krishna, even if I don't eat or drink? Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. I can't do anything. I just sit down. So, we learn the lesson. Oh, my enthusiasm for serving Krishna comes from eating and drinking water. It's not actually coming from the core of my heart. That is not moving me. It is not from the deep core of my heart, because if I deny this, because in other words, we have the body and the soul. The soul is moving by spiritual energy, and the body is moving by physical energy. So we deny physical energy, will our soul do any movement for Krishna? If we don't eat, we don't drink, will we have any desire? So then we can measure how much enthusiasm, genuine spiritual enthusiasm, we had to serve Krishna. Just like you see devotees, when they're chanting, they're falling asleep. When they eat something, then they're enthusiastic to chant. They have a big feast, and then there's a big kirtan after the Sunday feast. So, we have to recognize where we are. We're dependent on these things. But sometimes devotees will find, those that do bhajan after some years, they will find in the morning, if I am chanting my rounds, I get up in the morning, some people have low blood sugar, and they have physical problems, so they're trying to chant, they keep falling asleep. But then we've seen some of our gurus in ISKCON, they do something like they take some orange juice at 6 a.m., or they take some little bit of prasad, maybe a sandesh or something, just a little prasad. And then they can get strength, physical, sensual strength, and do their chanting nicely. So we have to adjust these three principles: physical strength, sensual strength, and enthusiasm. But understanding that the most important principle is to develop more and more enthusiasm. So how do we develop enthusiasm? Enthusiasm means to be next to Krishna, in theos. Enthusiasm is based on the word theos. Theos means theosophy, or theology, God. If you're close to God, then you're enthusiastic. Well, this is the meaning of enthusiasm, to be close to God. So one is always chanting in touch with the holy name, then he'll be enthusiastic. But then to have that power to always chant the holy name, we have to adjust these principles. So Prabhupada, we should understand of these three principles, no matter how much we do, we'll lose two. We have to increase more and more enthusiasm. So even when old age comes, we will not think, oh, I can't see, I can't digest my food. I'm eating something, but I can't digest my food. And I can't see very well, and I can't hear very well. Therefore, I don't serve Krishna. I stop. No. We can see at a young age, if we depend just on these physical things for enthusiasm, then we will be in difficulty in later age when we can't digest food properly, we can't see. So the principle in youth is to develop this quality of enthusiasm, so it becomes very strong within us. Enthusiasm means to always be cultivating the mental aspect, the mind. Because in the mind there is the function of desiring. So we can, if we're always desiring service and thinking about Krishna and thinking how to serve Him, that generates an internal enthusiasm. It generates a very subtle enthusiasm. But you're always thinking, anyway, I can't, if even if I can't digest my food and my senses are very weak, I've developed over years and years of desiring. Over years and years of desiring and aspiring for a perfectional state, and always desiring to serve Krishna in many different ways. Even I'm serving so many ways with my physical body and my senses, but then beyond that I'm also serving in so many ways in my mind. It's called Manasi Seva. Pujaris, it's told in the Pujari, in the deity worship book, they have to do their puja first in the mind. All the Pujaris are instructed in the ISKCON deity book. First you do your puja in your mind. If you're going to bathe the deities and offer artik and dress them, first you offer that service in the mind, then you do more. If you're doing 10 things outside, then you offer 15 things inside. If you're going to, after you have dressing and every bathing and dressing, then you offer some bhoga. So maybe two sweets, some fruit, maybe 3, 4, or 5 items. Offer those in your mind, then you offer 10 more items in your mind. So many other items, preparations. And then you do the puja. So this is pujaris, but we're all pujaris. We're all worshipping Krishna. We're meant to perform some service in the mind. So this cultivates the mentality of always wanting service. I'm doing more and more and more service. So much service externally with my body and senses and my physical power. And the mind is also working on that level. And so much more service I'm offering just with my mind in the level of Manasi Seva. So that strengthens the mind with this principle of Dasosmi. It strengthens and saturates the mind with the principle, I am your servant, my dear Lord. I am your servant. Let me serve you in this way. Let me serve you in that way. Because when we become old, and our physical power and strength are gone. The body may be gone, but the mind is not gone. The mind is the last thing to go. First goes the body and the senses, and then the mind goes. But Krishna is so kind. Ananyas chintyantumam yejana paripashate. That He preserves the mind. He preserves the mind of the devotee. The devotee. We can meet Vaishnavas that are 100 years old. 100 years old, and their minds are powerful. They can't walk. They can't even walk or hear, hardly see. Their minds are so powerful. At 100 years old, they're remembering so many shlokas, speaking very clearly and coherently. Srila Prabhupada was 80 years old. Did he have any shortage of memory power? Or speaking of mental power? No. Powerful. So many shlokas. So this is the mercy of Krishna. So He will preserve our mind. So when we become old, have no physical power, sensual power, we'll have our mental power. But what mental power will we have? What mental power will we have when we're 90 and 80 and 70 if we've never developed it? In your youth, you lifted weights and ran and did your track and rode your bicycle and took all your vitamins and minerals and all your expert diet. But you never cultivated your mental power by desiring and serving more and more and more. Because that's what will be with us at old age. Not the body and senses, but the mind. So this is one point. And the second point Prabhupada discusses for the majority of the purport. As comparing the fight of Gajendra with the fight of the devotees against the crocodile of Maya. Gajendra is fighting the crocodile, which represents the opposition or the enemy. So devotees are fighting a war against Maya. So Maya, the prophet says, the crocodile of Maya. She's always snapping her jaws, trying to chop your head off and bite your leg and grab you and pull you into the illusion, into the dark ocean of Bhavasagar. Bhavasagar means the ocean of material existence. And Prabhupada is so compassionate. Tatikshva Purunika Srida Sarvadehinam. This is the real quality of a devotee is karuna, compassion, love for others, concern, a caring mood. Your problems are my problems. Your suffering is my suffering. If I see you suffering, I feel unhappy also. I want to help you. The Prabhupada, he saw the difficulty of disciples who, on his encouragement or on their own inborn enthusiasm for preaching, spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission, they took sannyas. But then, after some time, fighting this war against Maya, they became influenced by material desire. So Prabhupada saying, don't leave the society of Vaishnavas, but change your ashram. Of course, in Shastra, we have Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Sadhu. So Shastra say that if a sannyasi cannot maintain his vrata, then what does he do? What should be his prayaschitta? What should be his atonement? If he cannot keep sannyas and he goes to Alalabad, to Triveni, the juncture of the Saraswati, Ganga, and Jamuna, and he offers prayers to Guru and Vaishnavas, and he worships them, and he worships Parampara, and he worships Krishna, and then he jumps into the water, or actually has to make some arrangement. What they do is they make arrangements with some brahmanas there to assist them in their antyasti samskara. They tie some bricks around them and then they jump and they go inside. The Shastra says that a sannyasi who falls must commit suicide in a Triveni. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the pastime of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas, for a seemingly minor infraction, he was cast out of the association of Lord Chaitanya and all the Gaura Bhaktas. So he gave up his life in Triveni. But Srila Prabhupada, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, he's very, very compassionate. Because understanding the Brahma Vaivarta Puran shloka, it says that one should not take sannyas in the age of Kali. So what does this mean? So acharyas, Argodi acharyas, they give commentaries on this. There's three types of sannyas. Three different types of sannyas. Karma sannyas, Gyan sannyas, and Bhakti sannyas. So, this verse from Brahma Vivarta Puran is referring to in Kali Yuga one should not take karma sannyas. Karma sannyas means that I'm in the varna and ashrama, I've gone through different ashramas, now I'm grihastha, now I'm vanaprastha, now I take sannyas. Why do I take sannyas? Because I want mukti. I have desire. I want to follow Vedas and attain mukti. And then what type of mukti? It may be swarga mukti. So this is called karma sannyas, that someone may leave the grihastha ashram, go to vanaprastha ashram, take sannyas, and have to want this fall, this karma fall, this swargalok, to go to heavenly planets. So this type of sannyas, with karmic, one takes this type of karma sannyas, this is forbidden in the age of Kali. Because how is it that Shankar, Jaya Gornitai, how is it that Shankaracharya is actually Sadashiv, or expansion of Shankarshan. How is it that Sadashiva came on the order of the Lord, he came to this world in Kali Yuga and took sannyas and preached the Vedas all over India? If sannyas is forbidden, is Shankaracharya breaking the Vedas? Is Shankaracharya going against the Vedas and going, no. Because he didn't take karma sannyas. He didn't take karma sannyas. He took jnana sannyas. Shankaracharya. you know, Shankara can preach Advaitan philosophy, Shankara philosophy. So he didn't take sannyas for any material reason. Now Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas. It's called bhakti sannyas. He had no desire for swarga mukti, no desire for brahma sayujya mukti. He was only taking sannyas to spread bhakti, bhakti sannyas. No desire. Krishna bhakti naishkam, ateva shanta. Krishna bhakti, was it bhakti siddhikami, sakale ashanta. So the Krishna bhakti naishkam, he has no desire. So the taking of sannyas by the Gaudiyas, following Lord Chaitanya, following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is for this purpose. No selfish desire, but the selfless desire to spread bhakti, prema bhakti. It's called bhakti sannyas. So this is not forbidden in the age of Kali. However, if someone has taken sannyas, being very, very difficult position, as Prabhupada said, don't go to Triveni and commit suicide. There's so few devotees in the world. Better you stay in this world, you change your position. Take up the Grihastha Ashram and continue the fight against Maya. Continue preaching, continue doing your work. So this is the very compassionate nature of Srila Prabhupada. And of course, many sannyasis have done that. They have unfortunately given up their vows, but they become grihasthas and they're also doing nice service. You can see so many examples in our society. And of course there are also examples of Prabhupada's disciples that went to the Triveni and gave up their lives. Actually, as far as we understand, this particular purport in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam was written after one of Prabhupada's sannyasis left. Because this 8th canto is right around that same time. There's one sannyasi of Prabhupada, he was on a morning walk in Mayapur, and he asked the question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, if a sannyasi gives up his vows of celibacy, what should he do? Then Srila Prabhupada said he should go to the Triveni and give up his life if he falls down to illicit life. So then that sannyasi drifted and he kind of fell to the back of the group of devotees that was walking with Prabhupada. And then he wasn't seen again after that. But then after Prabhupada said that, after he said he should give up his life, then Prabhupada said, but it is better that he stays in the fold. He stays with the devotees and changes his ashram and keeps his physical strength and carries on. But that sannyasi didn't hear that because he had drifted in the back and he had decided, oh, Prabhupada said, he heard the first thing that Prabhupada said, that the sannyasi should give up his life. So he heard that and he fell to the back of the group and he didn't hear the second statement, Prabhupada's merciful benediction and blessing. So then he went off to Triveni and gave up his life. So it seems around about that time was when Prabhupada was writing 8th canto, so maybe Prabhupada, to make it very clear for all future generations, he put it in writing in his law books that this is the situation. We'll stop there.